The bag is packed with the sticks. The drinks are cold. And the scorecard's ready to go. Time to hit the links.
I am completely at the mercy of you, which is so cool to me in golf.
Yeah, you're hoping that you don't have to take the club out of your hand if I go OB and we're back on the tee.
This is On the Tee, presented by Wisconsin Golf Trips.
I mean, there's nobody saved that team.
No, it's Tiger effin' Woods.
Yeah. Again, and the closest you can get.
They might need a name.
Broadcasting live from Erin Hills Golf Course, alongside Bally Sports Stephen Watson, here's Gabe Neitzel.
On the Tee, hard to believe we are coming to you from Scotland. That's right, from Scotland. Gabe Neitzel, Stephen Watson, joined by our friend Jason Coughlin from Wisconsin Golf Trips, been a proud partner of the show here, of course, because On the Tee, presented by Wisconsin Golf Trips. We have been talking about this for months, and we are on the trip. We talked about Jason. We are two rounds into the trip, three more guaranteed rounds, some already getting on the old course, the rest of us hoping to get on the old course. When we decided that we were taking 20 people over here to Scotland, did the first 2 days, is this kind of what you imagined it would be?
Better. Okay. Better. I mean, the weather we had at Dumbarney, I've never played in an October day like that, to have that little wind and be that pleasant. It was ridiculous. And then today at Carnoustie, low 50s, little windy, little cold, but certainly comfortable.
Yeah.
Nothing.
I have played in far worse in Wisconsin.
Oh, way worse.
I'll tell you
way
what.
Way worse.
I have not seen a raindrop yet, and Gabe told me to bring all his rain gear, and I...
Wait for tomorrow, buddy. I think tomorrow you're going to need the rain.
All right. No, the weather's been incredible. I mean, to play golf in 50 degrees and not a cloud in the sky with no wind. And then today on Carnoustie, a course that's known for wind whipping.
Howling, yeah.
To really have it impact just a few shots today. Overall, it's been Mother Nature showing off to start off the On the Tee trip to Scotland, that's for sure.
And we've got a couple days where there probably is going to be a little rain, but like Thursday, you know, one of the days looks incredible. Like I think we're getting off pretty well, and that's kind of what you'd expect.
So where we're broadcasting tonight, it's our last night here, the Hawkswood Estate.
Hawkswood Country Estate.
Country Estate. Yeah. So I want to make sure we give them all the love because they've been fantastic, Jason. I know this was something when we first had the idea, the concept of this, you're like, oh, I know this really cool place. If we get like 20, 24 guys, this would be the perfect spot for it. I knew what I had in my mind of what this place would be. And again, this is another thing that has just far surpassed my expectations. Stephen and I were kids. Like we got here after walking around St. Andrews. We dropped off our clubs inside. We didn't unpack anything. We unzipped our golf bags, grabbed a wedge each, and literally ran to like the little chipping area they have right behind the house we're staying in.
It's so for those that don't know what this is, it's Hawkswood Country Estates. It's about 10 minutes outside of downtown St. Andrews. And in my world as a tour operator, the tour operators over here don't either try to promote it or they don't think it's something that groups want to do. I mean, look at us.
Yeah.
I mean, golf degenerates staying in a place. It has three
degenerates.
You're a golf degenerate, Stephen. That's a compliment.
Just accept who you are.
Thank you. Yeah.
So the place has three homes all on the same property. We have the entire run of the facility. No one else is here except for us. There are three houses that each have a huge kitchen, five bedrooms, a hot tub, and then two of them have their own private short game area, and we have a full driving range at our disposal. It's we're like kids in a candy store. It's nirvana for us.
And it's really special too because it's a family run operation and they make you feel like you're at home.
From
the time you step onto this property. I mean, the owner is cooking us all the meals.
Yeah.
Truly a special experience and the food has been fantastic.
They've served us breakfast every morning. They did a special barbecue for us. And then part of the perk, if you stay here 3 nights, they have a shuttle that will take you one round trip to golf every day that's included. I mean, it makes my job so easy as a planner that, and for me to have done a tour of this place, but then now to see us actually stay here and see the group, it's a whole different thing. It's incredible. It's absolutely incredible.
Jason Coughlin, Wisconsin Golf Trips, joining us here on the tee, live from Scotland, with 17 of our newest, closest friends.
Well, we're also very close together, right?
Yeah.
On our YouTube page.
You know, hey,
sharing a small couch.
You got to make whatever you can happen.
Yeah, it's late at night here in Scotland.
All right, 2 days in, and I know you had a trip before this,
yep.
You know, that you were in the Highlands of Scotland before you came down to the St. Andrews area. What's been the highlight for you the first 2 days we've been here? Well, I guess 3 days, because we did get here and we spent some time Sunday in St. Andrews as well.
I guess this sounds weird, but to see you, you and my brother out on the driving range after golf. My brother is not as good as Gabe Neitzel. He's kind of a hack, but he wanted to get back and work his swing out just like Gabe did after the first round, mm-hmm. and to look over the hedges and see you here and my brother hitting drivers, it's like, where else was I going to see this? This is unbelievable. So that's been a highlight. And then I have two other Coughlins here. I got my brother. I got my cousin and his son. And his son got out on the old course yesterday.
Yeah.
So to have Joe Coughlin be our only guy to get out on the singles lottery so far, very special. Very special.
Yeah, a lot of us have applied.
Yep.
Not all of us have been as fortunate yet.
We've
got the fingers crossed. We got at least three more opportunities to try and get on the old course. So far, we're 0 for 3 here in Team on the Tee, but we're going to stay optimistic.
Steven, what was it like for you to see the course, though, for the first time? You know, to walk those holes you've seen on TV?
Well, playing Carnoustie today, I know we'll dive into it deeply, but that was the first links golf I've ever played in my entire life. And I was blown away by the challenge, the creativity, and also the patience needed.
Yeah.
And that was, I didn't play my best golf today, but I couldn't help but be in awe of the layout and the history and just walking around the building. It was everything I hoped and then more, honestly, just to step foot on that property where so many champions have and so many people hope to check off their bucket list one day. I'm not going to remember the score, but I'll remember the feeling of that golf course.
Well, what about you? Because I was surprised to find out Carnoustie was one you hadn't played over here. Because you've been over here a little bit, obviously, with the business and trying to get everything up and off the ground. Carnoustie is not – today was the first day you got to play.
It was the first time I'd been on the property, which is the surprising part. Because, again, with all the visiting and site visits that I do, it just never had worked out. And so for me to get there and see the hotel behind the green – to see the town, to see the rail line, it was so much more impressive than I thought it was going to be. And I don't mean that in a negative way at all. I just, it exceeded expectations. The clubhouse, the pro shop, the locker room, everything was so top rate. And the course itself, I thought was, we talked about it. It's a hard golf course, especially for a high handicap, but it's fair. You know, there's some pot bunkers down the right side. If you don't want to go in them, don't go down the right side. You know, but it's not like everything else was trouble. It was just very fair. I loved it. I absolutely loved it, which was very exciting.
And I think for you building the itinerary, the way we started has been really unique too. I mean, I know you couldn't control the weather and have a perfect weather day.
tip of the cap to you.
But it's really like Dumbarney is new links, right?
Then
you go to Carnoustie on day two, which is one of the best golf courses in the world. And, tip of the cap to you, Jason. For
thank you.
Not only the place that we're in right now, Hawkswood Country Estates. I mean, what an awesome addition to this trip. But so far, the itinerary has been everything I could have asked for somebody going to Scotland for the first
time. Good. No, it's you know, and this is my personal take on it. That's why we set it up this way. Doing three nights on your own. We're all together. You know, we can kind of do what we want here. But we're kind of on our own. We're not getting, you know, nobody's making our beds or anything like that.
Yeah.
And then we go transition to one of the greatest hotels in the world for the second part of the trip. I think it's the best of both worlds.
And
I really, really do.
Yeah, it's fun to build camaraderie with a lot of people we have never met before who are all golf degenerates. Is that
golf degenerates.
Yeah, okay.
Compliments to all of you.
Everybody on this trip is here for a reason because they get an opportunity to play courses that they never knew if they could, you know, find a way to get on that trip. And it's been really fun. Everybody on this trip has ties to Wisconsin, lives in Wisconsin, and it's why we designed this show, you know, is to just find more golf degenerates to join us and talk about this great game.
If somebody's thinking about Scotland, they missed out on this, they didn't pull the trigger for whatever reason, why should they book a trip to Scotland with you?
I just feel like the way I've done Scotland is a lot like I've done groups to Wisconsin. You know, it's a lot of time building relationships, so when we show up, my brother pointed out, it's like you hug somebody everywhere we go. And I'm like, well, it's just you get to know these people and they respect what you do and you want to, you know, provide them more groups. I just feel like I do it in a way where any group that books through me, when they show up to these courses, people are going to come out and say, oh, you're Jason's guys. And I just think coming across the pond, that's a different type of experience, especially for us in the Midwest. You know, I think that we're kind of used to that. Mm-hmm. But I think that's one of the intimidating things about doing a trip is, you know, what if we're out there and something goes wrong? And that's what I've tried to overcome is, hey, you know, here's a name of a guy that, at each course, that if something goes wrong, that's who you can contact, you know, and look for him. So that's, I think, probably my biggest asset is just making those relationships and being able to forward that to other people.
Yeah. And you can tell that the people here have so much pride in these properties.
Oh my God.
And the relationships that they want to build with people like Jason. They like having us here. I mean, they like our money too, but they do truly like having us here. And that's something they feel like they want to share with the world is how special and unique these golf courses are, and can't recommend, you know, this trip. And we're only 48, 72 hours into this thing. It's already been such a pleasure.
The people that we've had the most interaction with since we've been here in Scotland, the family that owns the place, you know, Hawkswood Country Estates, and then our caddies in our respective rounds.
Yeah.
And the one thing that I just come away from thinking is community. Like the caddy we played with, or my caddy today, said he lives 5 miles away, about a 10 mile car ride from Carnoustie. You know, like he's obviously very prideful of that golf course, and he tries to play it. And, you know, the other golf course, I can't remember the name of it, just, you know, in his local town, or the caddy that we played with yesterday, just the pride that the caddies had in our group for, you know, Dumbarney Links, and the pride that the family has that owns this property of what they can do, the way they can showcase. They want to showcase this country for people like us coming into it. You know, like you said, yes, obviously they like our money, but there's also a pride factor that just enters into it because they're so proud of what they have in their respective communities.
Yeah, it feels really genuine too.
Oh, without a doubt.
That's the most enjoyable part. They want you here.
It's the fabric of their industry. You know, the tourism industry here is such a vital part of it that you know, when I come to the conventions here and you see all these different vendors from different parts, distilleries, and everybody's on the same page. It's like, hey, we're here to provide the best service we can. That's why Scotland's been so endearing to me versus other destinations. So in a place like this that, again, for listeners, again, they've got three houses that can all be rented individually. So again, you got a group of eight, five bedrooms. You got your own private hot tub. You got your own private chipping area. You got a driving range. You're 10 minutes from downtown. For certain groups, I think that could be extremely enticing, and it's been for us, no question.
Jason, thank you so much for putting together the trip. Thank you for jumping on the show. Can't wait for the next handful of days, buddy.
Great days, guys. Glad to be here with
you. Jason, I can't wait to talk with you about our trip on the old course together later this week.
Right.
Speaking it into existence.
We'll talk more about that and what it takes, how we're trying to get out of the old course, plus kind of review what we've done the first handful of days here in Scotland. But of course, on the team presented by our friends at Wisconsin Golf Trips. If you're looking to make a golf trip, you need to contact our guy here, Jason. Why? Well, because not only does he bring people into the state of Wisconsin, he can put people outside the state of Wisconsin. You know, or maybe if you want to do Michigan, you want to do Nevada, he can certainly do that stateside, but also international trips like the one we're taking here to Scotland, Ireland. He takes care of all the logistics, the food, the planning, the transportation. He takes care of it all. So make sure next big golf trip you take, you contact our friends at Wisconsin Golf Trips at WisconsinGolfTrips.com.
You're listening to On the Tee with Gabe Neitzel and Stephen Watson on 94.5 ESPN.
Your next best round is going to happen at the Wisconsin Country Club. Do what Stephen and I did. Join. Become a member at the Wisconsin Country Club. No food and beverage minimums. No assessments that happen. A beautiful golf course that's challenging. We love to play it. Of course, when we're back in the States. And you can too. Find out more information. Go to their website, thewisconsincountryclub.com. Find out more about tennis and pickleball and the Sunday fun days at the pool. The Wisconsin Country Club, just a fairway away. From Scotland, Stephen Watson, Gabe Neitzel on the tee.
Man, that sounds cool. From Scotland.
Yeah, I'm going to say it every time. It's been such a fun 3 days. It's been a little different than the first time I was over here a couple of years ago, Stephen. But, you know, we had our own travel snafus.
Yeah.
You know, we had some issues.
Adversity right out of the gates.
But we were able to, you know, right the ship. And, you know, we had a flight that got delayed and then we got rebooked. And so we had to book another flight. Unfortunately, the guy that was on our flight, shout out to our guy, Mark Bludstein. Bludy, love you. Where he had what happened to me 2 years ago. Clubs made it. Luggage did not. However, He got his the next day, one day, instead of the 35 I had to wait for mine. But other than that, I mean, it seemed like it was pretty smooth sailing for the other 20 guys.
Yeah, and that's pretty amazing when you think about 20 people coming here to all have their clubs and, for the most part, bags. Pretty drama-free. I know that we were able to get in. Like, my goal getting here on Sunday was I wanted to leave enough time to be able to walk the old course, because that's the one thing about this trip is we're just trying to get on the ballot. Every single day, every opportunity to get on the old course, and it's not guaranteed. So Sunday was the one chance I knew I would have to walk 1 through 18, and that was a pretty special way to kick off this trip once we got here.
For those who don't know, if you're wondering, what does Stephen mean, walk the old course? The old course is only a golf course Monday through Saturday. Sunday, it is a public park. So there are people playing with their dogs in the middle of, you know, some of the most famous holes in all of golf. You know, we saw a couple of dogs run through some bunkers on the back nine as we were walking through. And that's just, it's such a cool and unique thing about the old course in St. Andrews. But I'm glad you got to walk it as well, because you kind of got to, it's one of those courses. It's not Augusta, because we see Augusta every year, but it's like Pebble Beach. You know, I know we see Pebble Beach every year for the AT&T, but we don't get to see it all that often for the U.S. Open. Maybe it's more, you know, it's going to be like Pinehurst, because Pinehurst is this pillar of what the U.S. Open is. You know, we're going to be seeing Pinehurst more and more and more on the professional side. I mean, you could pretty much pencil in every, since I've been alive, every 5 years they're doing, you know, an Open Championship at the old course, and you just kind of get to see it. You get to know it. The shot over the old course hotel on 17, what it looks like coming up 18, you know, the 12th hole with all these different, you know, bunkers waiting for you. There are certainly so many holes that you've seen on television that now you get to see in person for the first time.
Yeah, you know, I was kind of blown away by the scale. I actually thought it would be this massive property when I got there, and it's much more intimate than I imagined. The distance between the, you know, first tee box through the 18th green is really not that wide. Everybody talks about how easy the opening shot is on the old course, and you don't have much room to the right. Like, you know, if I get that opportunity to swing that club later this week on the first tee box, like, it's a pretty intimidating tee shot. The one thing I will say about the old course, I was blown away at how dramatic the green complexes are. That's something that you don't necessarily see on TV. You see the undulation in the fairways. You expect to see, you know, the bunkering and the pot bunkers looked exactly what I thought they would look like. But man, you get up on those greens and there are some crazy putts. And the way that they share the greens out there on the old course, you can see why that's the equalizer on the old course, because you can't stretch it out any longer at this point. No. It's not a very long golf course, but you get on those greens and you can see what makes that course so dynamic and so beloved. And the other thing I have to say is what made Sunday so special was, we talked about in the previous segment, the pride the locals have. Like, that wasn't just tourists walking the old course.
No.
Like, I felt like I was at one of the great cathedrals in all of sport, alongside my best friends. And I feel like that's something that we're missing out on in the U.S. when it comes to golf and great golf. I think that golf is too exclusive. And I think what makes the golf here really unique is that it's so pure and it's something that they want to be celebrated together. You can't just go walk Pebble Beach unless you have a tee time. You can look from the beach and say, wow, that's Pebble Beach. But you're not invited to go walk it. You can never go walk Augusta. We take too much pride in the private, in the exclusivity of golf in the States. And we have some incredible golf courses in the U.S. that, when I see how inviting the old course was and how all of the properties in Scotland, there are no trespassing laws. So anybody can go walk these golf courses. There are walking paths designed through the heart of all of these golf courses, and enter your own risk. But I love that about this place. I love that you can just go and enjoy a walk and, you know, see the rich history of this game and celebrate it and share it with people and see people from all over the world. I wish we would do that more in the States.
Well, I mean, so you, me, we had another fan that was walking the old course. We saw a couple of college coaches, players, because they're playing a collegiate event at St. Andrews. They played the Jubilee, new, and then tomorrow they're supposed to play.
Yeah.
They're supposed to play the old in some pretty tough rainy conditions.
Yeah, that forecast says 100% chance of rain.
Yeah, tomorrow. So not going to be great for them. But they were, you know, scouting.
Yeah.
We were the only ones who cared about the golf course. You know, otherwise, I mean, people were just kind of out there taking their Sunday stroll.
Yeah, it's such an interesting vibe out there. But the vibe is so – I've talked to people who have been fortunate to play the old course, and they said sometimes the Sunday walk is better than playing. Because you're free. You're not anxious over the ball. You're not thinking about your score. You can take in the course for what it is. Of course, I want to play that course with clubs in hand, Gabe. But there is something uniquely special about just walking a course and visualizing it.
I understand the sentiment of whoever told you that. As somebody who has now taken the Sunday stroll with you, and as somebody who has played the old course, I think you know which one was better.
Well, yeah. And I hope that you get to walk with me on the old course at some point this week.
Well, so that's going to be tough because, well,
Days are getting limited.
The days are getting limited. So there's a couple different ways you can get on the old course.
Yeah.
Once you kind of already have a plan like this, you know, a trip like this planned, there's like a year out ballot that maybe you can win some tee times. And again, those are tough to come by. And then once you're here, they have a 48-hour ballot. So we were trying to get out for Thursday. Austin Della from GKB, him and his dad, they got out. They're going to be playing on Thursday together. And for the 48-hour ballot, you can put in for up to four if you want to try to get, you know, an entire tee time. But we all kind of figured it'd be easier if, you know, you set up in twosomes. It's you know, increases your odds of potentially getting out. We have not gotten out as a twosome. So now for Thursday, we have to tomorrow do the single day ballot where they're trying to fill out, you know, just one little holes here and there. Jason talked about, you know, his relative Joe who got out, who technically didn't even have a tee time. He was number three on the wait list after all the tee times were filled, but he still got out on Monday when we were here.
Yeah.
So that's how you get on the old course. It's hard to do, but you just got to get lucky at the right time.
And if I don't get on, I mean, this trip has still been amazing, and we have an incredible itinerary ahead of us. And that's why I'm happy that Sunday happened, because I at least feel fulfilled. It will feel complete with the old course, but I feel fulfilled having the opportunity to at least see the grounds and visualize it.
If you happen to come to St. Andrews, if you come, you know, and you don't have a tee time, I would recommend, if you can, have Sunday be one of those days. Maybe you play around at the Jubilee or new on that Sunday, and then you walk the old course. You know, just at least you can get out there and experience it and see all those things that Stephen was just talking about of how a unique experience that can be.
Yeah, it's what makes it special here. It truly is. Yeah, it's hard to describe until you're out there walking and you just look around and you see smiles on, you know, families with their young kids running through the fairways and dogs running into fairway bunkers and you taking the pictures on the iconic spots throughout the course. It's cool. It's a unique spot, and it just feels like a sense of community here that's hard to put into words.
Before we get to some of the actual golf that we've played, I do want to say something about Hawkswood Country Estates, where we've been staying the last couple of days. We had a lot of fun yesterday. We got an alternate shot, kind of match play thing going on, you know, around the chipping green, which, you know, it was tough to hold because it's just kind of astroturf on top of cement and it's a little cold. It's hard to, you know, get the ball to stop and hold. I mean, just having fun and just kind of, you know, getting some camaraderie with the people that have decided to go on the trip. This place is going to be one of my favorite things about the trip that we did.
Yeah, and it's because of the family who runs it. I think that that's what makes this place special. Like, you can stay in Airbnbs and nice facilities and have nice meals all throughout this town. But the fact that they do it together and they love doing it, and it seems like they just want people to share this experience with them, and it can be whatever you want. I mean, you can go out and, you know, hit 100 balls on the range. You can have chipping and putting contests with your friends. You can sit in a room that's nicer than most hotel rooms you're going to stay in. Or you just go and enjoy home cooked breakfast and barbecues. I mean, it's a really cool tone setter for this trip. And can't thank Jason enough, honestly, for his foresight, for just thinking of beginning our journey here. Because as I said, you know, we didn't know many people coming into this trip. You know, we were excited to see so many listeners sign up and join us on this experience. And for a lot of people, it was something they could do with a friend or a family member. And then there's some singles out here who took a leap of faith and said, this is a trip I've always wanted to do, and this is an opportunity to do it. And it feels like everybody's getting along really well. And we're all here because we share a passion for the game and the sport, and have a lot of pride in being from Wisconsin and doing this together. Mm-hmm. And, man, it's just been such a joy. And you and I get into play with all these new groups every single day. It's fun to get to know everybody's stories. And yeah, we're all here for a common goal. And it's been just a great start so far.
Can't wait to talk about our first round that happened at Dumbarney Links. It's someplace that's new here in Scotland, but we got to experience it. I think Stephen had a pretty good comp for it to kind of make everybody think about what that golf course relates to. But I do want to tell you about a different golf course in the state of Wisconsin. The Bog has always been a good supporter of ESPN Milwaukee and On the Tee. They host the ESPN Milwaukee Open. Steve and I play 100 holes each and every year out there for the Mac Funds Ringer event. They do so many great things, so you should consider your next round of golf at The Bog. Check them out online at golfthebog.com. Our review of Dumbarney Links coming up next on the Tee.
This is On the Tee with Gabe Neitzel and Stephen Watson on 94.5 ESPN.
We love Erin Hills. We love being in Scotland. We also miss Erin Hills. Look, we always miss Erin Hills when we're not out there. We love being out there. So hospitable. They always take care of you. And of course, they're hosting the 2025 U.S. Women's Open. So make sure you get tickets for that and check out the best players in the world playing our national championship in our backyard at Erin Hills, just 45 minutes from downtown Milwaukee. ErinHills.com to learn more about getting a tee time, maybe having some overnight accommodations as well, which is on my bucket list for 2025. That's something I want to be able to check off. Much like this trip, Stephen, from Scotland has been.
Hey, I was rocking the Erin Hills clover on the course today.
You did.
You know?
You did.
Shout out to our friends at Erin Hills.
But our first round here was at Dumbarney Links.
Yeah.
Brand new golf course that I found out was not purchased but leased for 120 years, which was a fascinating story that has nothing to do with the golf course. But it's just such a you arrive on property and it's just a breathtaking view the second you step out of your transportation and see behind the clubhouse at some of the holes that are just awaiting you.
Yeah, there's one place. That it made me feel when I got to, if you've ever been out to Bandon Dunes and you go out to Sheep Ranch and you kind of are sitting on top of a hill looking down at the course and the Pacific Ocean in the backdrop, that's what I felt when I was at Dumbarney. Was you look out and you're just in awe of the beauty. And it helped that it was perfectly sunny, not a cloud in the sky. Truly, like, you can't – our caddy said that it was the nicest day that he could remember in recent memory. And that was how we started off the trip. And weather means a lot to your golf experience.
It certainly does.
And I mean, Gabe was in short sleeves back nine in Scotland.
I started with, you know, I had a hoodie, you know, lightweight hoodie and a vest on.
Yeah.
Okay, the vest, I think we lost the vest before I even hit the first tee shot, lost that after, you know, hitting balls on the range. Around, yes, all 7 or 8, the hoodie left. And I was playing in short sleeves, which I did not do when I came in May. Like, when I was here in May of 22, like, it was, you know, quarter zip or a hoodie. And, you know, you needed to have that extra layering. I've never experienced anything like it. I'm not expecting to have another round in short sleeves for the rest of the
trip. It was funny. Our caddy yesterday, Scott, said that in Scotland, we live in perpetual autumn. That's what he said. So, just, you know, it never gets above 75 and rarely gets below 40 without the wind. And we had a pick day. Mother Nature was certainly showing off on day one for us, and it enhanced the experience. And, you know, Dumbarney, the comp I have is it is like playing the Irish course at Whistling Straits on steroids. It's all man-made, so they pushed a lot of dirt around.
Much like they had to at Whistling Straits.
And, you know, you're never on the water, but you always see the water. You feel the water. It's in the sight lines. It's just it improves the aesthetic feeling of being out on the golf course the entire time you're out there. And
I'd like to say you can hear the waves crashing, but we didn't have any wind.
Yeah,
but there was no wind to make the water crash.
Truly,
the shore.
It looked like Lake Michigan on like the calmest day ever. it was truly remarkable how nice the weather was at Dumbarney. But no, great character to those holes. And I would say, the par threes out there,
they really stood out.
Really stood out at Dumbarney. They were my demise in my round, and I was very happy with how I played on that golf course. But man, they were not easy. And all of them were different distances, so different clubs. I thought Dumbarney was a great test, but the par threes are what I'm going to remember as being difference makers that set it apart.
What was your favorite hole at Dumbarney?
Man, I had a fun front nine. That was,
yeah.
I would say I hit the two iron off the tee to drive the green. That was fun.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
Memorable.
That was 11. I believe 11. Hole 11
okay.
On the back. See,
yeah,
I was going right. With the other one that you drove the green. Even though I played the hole poorly.
Yeah.
I really liked the layout of short par, you know, drivable par four, number three on the front side. It kind of goes to the left. If you don't want to take on any of the risk, you can kind of lay up right, you know, and just kind of send it out there and play the hole traditionally. But you can, I mean, if you execute the shot, you're cutting a lot off.
Yeah.
So it's even, you know, for me, it was less than driver. You know, to try to drive the green, so you're using some slopes that are going to kick it down onto the green. I just really, it's a hole that, especially when it goes right to left, and I like to cut it as a lefty, it should have fit my eye shape, and I just didn't hit a good tee shot. But I really, if I ever get the opportunity to go play that golf course again, like, that's the hole I really want to hit a good tee shot on, because it just seems like a really good, you know, kind of risk reward type of short par four.
Yeah. And I mean, if regular listeners of this program know that I don't hit the ball very long. So the fact that I'm thinking drivable par fours, mm-hmm. it's what makes links golf pretty fun, is you hit the right slot. The ground is hard enough
yeah.
that your ball can run out. And, you know, to drive the green was a 220 yard shot because it rolled out to 260.
Yeah.
And that was really fun on that property. The number of risk reward short par fours in addition to the par threes. I for 4 years I was really impressed with the grass. It definitely felt new in some spots, mm-hmm. a little bouncy, but that place is in fantastic shape.
I really liked the there's a two-tiered par five on the back that was really cool. I thought 18 was an excellent closing hole
too. Yeah.
Yeah, you know, it's a blind tee shot, which I'm not always the biggest fan of, but you kind of go down the hill and then back up with a fun little green. So I thought that was a fantastic golf course. And one of the things Stephen and I are also doing while we're over here, we are playing a, hopefully it ends up being a 6-round match. Again, it's guaranteed to be a 5-round match. We're still trying to get out on the old course, but you beat me right away, one up after the first 18 holes.
Yeah, it was a good match though. I played really well on the front. I made 3 birdies. And then the back, I mean, do you want to talk about your psycho scorecard for friends of the show?
You know, nice little, you know, 40, you know, 42 on the front, you know, not great. You know, a couple of doubles thrown in there.
And then what'd you do on the back?
You know, we just shot a 36.
Yeah.
You know, one bogey, one birdie, just nice, you know. Nice little relaxed.
Little drunken nine yeah. from Gabe Neitzel. But hey, I was 4 up, you know, at like hole 12. I was feeling really good about
yeah.
the match. And all of a sudden, you worked it back to one. And I think we pushed 18 to allow me to stay one up to win day one. But yeah, it was not the only round where you had a good back nine.
No, certainly not the only round where I had a good back nine. And we did that as well at Carnoustie, which we played today. We will tell you about Carnoustie. I am very excited to talk about it because you know how much, I mean, we just talked about Erin Hills, how much we love going to there. I'm hoping, like, for whatever reason, I feel like a connection to Carnoustie that was only strengthened by the way we played today. So hopefully, I'm going to quiz you on it, see how you feel.
The way we played?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, because we got to play it together.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
Yeah, not the way. I mean, yeah, well, I guess we can get into that because that was It was interesting out at Carnoustie, of course, which they...
As it always is.
Yes, as Carnasty. But your next round of golf back in Wisconsin could be at the Wisconsin Country Club. Steven and I joined. Steven's been out there for 7 years. I've been out there for a year now. We love the golf course. It's the one thing that drives us. We love going out there, being able to play when we can. Tree-lined fairways. It's a fair golf course. They keep in great condition. But also with the Wisconsin Country Club, there are no assessments. There are no food and beverage minimums. And if you're looking for something a little more than golf, family, kids, those sorts of things, tennis, pickleball, Sunday fun days at the pool all summer long, make sure you check out the WisconsinCountryClub.com for more membership info. The Wisconsin Country Club, just a fairway away.
For It's On the Tee with Gabe Neitzel and Stephen Watson on 94.5 ESPN.
Steven and I had the opportunity to play Tuckaway Country Club just a couple of weeks ago. We had fun out there playing with our guy, Corey, who's on the board there. It was such a fun round. Kind of a hidden gem down there in the southern part of Milwaukee. You know, just a fun golf course, up and down. You can lengthen it out, five different tee boxes. So much fun. They used to host the GMO. They've held state opens there. Going to have another one coming up soon. So thank you to our friends at Tuckaway Country Club for, you know, having us out there and enjoying a great day of golf. Do want to thank again our friend Jason from Wisconsin Golf Trips who put together and has planned. Again, we're not even halfway through, which is fun to think about. Our trip here to Scotland, we have three more planned rounds. Hopefully get another round in at the old course as well. But today was a day I was looking forward to, because when I came to Scotland back in 2022, I got to play the old course, played King's Barnes, played the Castle course, went over to North Berwick, played their Renaissance, where they play the Scottish Open every year on the PGA Tour. But I walked away with Carnoustie being my favorite place, even though the ending stretch kicked me in the teeth. I finished bogey double-double to shoot 81 my first time here. I don't know what it is. I feel like I really love that place, and I do. What were your impressions initially of Carnoustie when you played it today, Stephen?
Well, I mean, blown away by the property first and foremost. First true links experience. So for me, it was fun to step onto a property that has so much history. Another place, kind of like the old course, that I've seen so many times on TV.
Sure.
And hear so much about how hard it is, and I'm feeling like, all right, wind's kind of down for what they're used to here. It was about, 10 to 15 miles an hour. So it didn't, it definitely impacted shots, but it didn't control our day. No rain. So I was feeling pretty good. I did not hit the ball very well today, but I will tell you that I don't really care about my score, because hole to hole, I was blown away by the layout of that golf course. Every bunker is there with a purpose.
For a reason.
And it's like, it doesn't matter what tee box you play from, there's a bunker in your landing zone. It is a true plotter's course, which is probably more than anything why I'm frustrated that I didn't play well. It lines up my game.
I have never seen you struggle with driver like you did today.
I think I hit one fairway, and driver's my strength. And I was a little mentally defeated out there for sure with that club in my hands. That's the only bummer is, like, when you get an opportunity to play a course like that, you just want to play well, right?
Yeah.
Like, you've built it up so much in your head. You're standing on the first tee. You're so excited. I block one way right. And I was like, it's the first tee box. I'll settle down. But I blocked a lot right today. But I grinded. And it really is, as hard of a golf course as it is, it's super fair.
Mm-hmm.
It's even though I was short and right off the tee, like, I still always had a shot for the most part to get me back into the hole. And fortunately, I hit my long irons well, that I could set myself up to still grind out some pars and bogeys. I had one or two like blow ups where I made double, but it was a grind out there. Like I felt like it was the test I expected. But I'm proud of the perspective I was able to keep while being on the property, because it could have really gone sideways for me if I wasn't playing a course like that. And I just kept trying to stay positive and just trust that the swing would find its way there. And it did for enough shots to allow me to get my score down. But I'll tell you what, the final five holes on Carnoustie.
Yeah. Put it up against any five, the final five closing holes of just about any championship course, like courses that have hosted major championships, there is not a miss in the final five.
It is not only stunning and like just breathtaking, honestly, the way that the holes are shaped around the burn and, you know, the tree, the famous tree on 16 that's up there, you know, it has so much character. And it's so hard. you're smiling through the pain is truly how the final few holes at Carnoustie feel. Like, you can't help but just, like, be happy that you're getting an opportunity to play these unbelievable holes. Mm-hmm. But, man, they are hard. I mean, it is the toughest stretch to close that I have played on a golf course in my life.
15 is famous because of the spectacle bunkers.
Yeah.
Which you took. I think you posted a picture on your Twitter account.
Yeah. And I wasn't in it, but my caddy's like, just go stand at the bottom. And he said, when there's no sand.
Oh, you were in it.
when there's no sand, it's 16 feet high without sand. I posted a picture of me, and there's probably a good 4 feet still above my head.
Mm-hmm. Even if you hit like a really good tee shot, you're in the middle of the fairway, it's tough to see the green. They've got to have a little higher, you know, flag so you can kind of see over the spectacle bunkers.
Yeah. That's the hole that Gary Player famously, you know, put it through the middle of the spectacle bunkers, and I believe he made eagle on that hole, right? Or made a key birdie in one of the Open Championships that was hosted here. Spectacle bunkers were really cool. Another property where, man, the par three is out here kicking my butt so far through 2 days.
The par three is
it's never fun when the caddy tells you 220 on the tee box on a par three. That's a way to intimidate you on the final.
And we were playing all the way back.
Yeah.
You know, we were playing, I believe, the one-up tees, you know? So we weren't all the way back. We played them a little further up, you know, just kind of the normal tees I think a lot of guys would play. Yeah, 240-yard, you know, par three that you got to play.
Yeah. I was expecting to hit my 2-iron more as, like, my fun club off the tee, not my second shot into green. And that was what today was like at Carnoustie for me. But, man, it's what an unbelievable property. And you can see why some regard it as the best golf course in the world.
So you have a greeter right there. And one of the little things I love about over here is the little things they give you on the first tee.
Yeah.
You know, so we got a little packet and the yardage book today. Yesterday at Dumbarney, they had, well, first of all, we had a shot of scotch that they gave you right away on the first tee. Right?
Forgot to mention that. That was
a nice way to start the trip.
Yeah, welcome to Very smooth. Here's a shot of scotch.
Very smooth.
Yeah.
So that was really good. But they also give you a little, you know, kind of a bag. You know, it's got some tees in it. It's got a divot repair tool, and it's got the yardage book for that too. A lot of these places will give you the yardage book, which is fantastic. But, you know, just little things where even if you don't get something out of the clubhouse, you're walking away with something that you're going to remember from your experience there. And our greeter, you know, the first thing he says today, welcome to the greatest golf course in the world.
Yeah, right. Yeah. And that place stole my soul, but it also stole my wallet. Shout out to Carnoustie right here. You know, did some damage there. But yeah, it's a must if you come to this part of Scotland. I can't imagine a better layout of golf holes.
Yeah. To give you an idea how tough this course was today, our group made one birdie today.
Yeah.
Shout out to our guy, Tim, who holed out from a bunker.
Yeah.
After saying, hey, I hadn't been in a bunker all day yesterday. First bunker I've been in. Holed in from a bunker on the par four third hole.
But the best part about it, he couldn't even see it because the bunker is so deep. He didn't even know it went in.
I started going nuts from the back of the green after I saw that thing hit the pin and go down. It was it was a spectacular shot. It was the only birdie we had. Nobody made a birdie putt. We had to have somebody in a bunker have to hole out for a three today.
Is that the hardest golf course you've ever played? Because it is mine. That is the hardest golf course I've ever played.
It might be. Look, I also think the bowl back at home is really hard. But, I mean, this place, it just – I feel at times the bowl is not fair.
Yeah.
Where this, I feel, again, you hit some shots. Okay, maybe you find your ball, maybe you don't. Maybe you have a good line, maybe you don't if you're not in the fairway. It's just, it's very fair about the whole outlie. Again, those fairways are tighter than you think. I hit one of my better drives today on the front nine, and I started walking up to the ball, and I'm like, oh, man, this is really tight up here.
It's truly what I battled with today is I was losing confidence in my swing. And that course will eat you up if you lack confidence.
Yeah.
And with how tight the fairways are, like the fescue in the rough is not that penal. But if you're in a pot bunker in the middle of the fairway, you better be hoping for a bogey. And your misses can turn into sixes really fast out there. But yeah, it really tight fairways. A lot of OB that is not too far off the hole. If you're willing to just plot your way around, you can have a really good round out there.
Well, and thanks to that tough closing stretch where I started playing well, I have actually taken a lead going into day three of our match. I was able to close that one down gap. I won by four today. I've got a 3-hole lead going into tomorrow.
Just set the stage for a great dramatic comeback.
Okay.
And, we need some drama through 6 months.
I feel, that's the thing. Like, you and I did the 100-hole, we did a match when we played our 100 holes.
Yeah.
You closed me out pretty early there. You had the long match with DJ during, your marathon golf and the dream loop that you guys did last year. I feel like I got to stand up to, you're just this long match specialist. I got to step up and, I got to try to take care of business against you.
This is the mental game. I got you right where I want you. So,
do you?
I have you. I have you believing. This is exactly where I want you. Just wait until the 100% chance of rain tomorrow on Jubilee.
You've never played in rain gloves or you bought a rain jacket for this.
Do you know if that's true or did I maybe play the long play and set you up mentally?
No, I know you've never played with
rain gloves. Yeah, you're 100% right. I've never played with rain gloves. This match could get out of hand tomorrow.
I'm looking forward to it. We're not going to miss it. Keep tuned here on ESPN Milwaukee's YouTube page and our social media pages at SWatsonTV, at G19Sol16. We're going to be posting stuff all throughout our trip. Big thank you again to Jason from Wisconsin Golf Trips. We're going to recap the whole thing next week on The Tee.